research man. In other words, he was really my lieutenant.
So he was compiling figures on what was happening, in other words.
And his wife, Paul Anita,
who came and talked to me too one day about the work she was going to do.
Yeah. She was one of the active women during the 40s.
Well, we have to come interview her.
Yeah. So she will be here shortly. And I invited them, as I told you I was going to invite somebody who is working with me. And actually, they are more familiar with the women than I am.
Well, we probably shouldn't go over too much of what we might get out of the thesis and focus more on the issue of the women, but it would help us to get a little bit better background on the formation of the committee, too. Is Mary Lou Walker, is she still on?
I don't know. And Ross's
I think she's deceased.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that her name came up as the being involved in the women's auxiliary of the committee.
Right.
And Juanita was also involved in the women's auxiliary. Oh. And then there was another name that came up. But it seemed to be the same person, Mary Emery.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a different person? Was that the same?
I don't know right now. I can't.
There was Charlotta Bass.
Yeah.
Did you run across her name?
Oh, yeah. She was the editor of The Eagle, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Congressman Hawkins.
I was very surprised. I was trying to think, well, how old is he? I was surprised seeing his name.
That's right.
And then I was very surprised to see the name of some people who don't seem to be in. Have the same positions now, like Gilbert Lindsay.
Yes.
He was schooled.
Well, somewhere along the line, he forgot his lessons.
his boss was schooled.
Kenny Hines.
Yeah, he was schooled.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because he ran for supervisor.
The city council.
No, he ran for supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
We lost because labor disappointed us.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And therefore, Roach decided to continue to run because he was the new person was the fellow who was a Mormon who had a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But labor should have been backing Russell, and labor decided that they would back this newspaper there. And then they decided, the best thing for us to do is to back Roach again.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so they left this fellow dangling. And that was, and then
Redding or something.
Yeah, that's right. Redding is because they, and then Hahn. He used to be by the church every day, and so he became the supervisor. And what did he do? He hired one of our deacons. Who was Lindsay.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Oh, I see. Can you tell, is that like the closed door? Would that be fun?
You have to remove because he's painting it.
Oh. Tell me a little bit about the church itself at the time.
The church itself was actively engaged in social action. We had a working relationship with all avenues of employment, federal, state, county, and city. And we maintained a free employment placement service funded by the church. We weren't funding things in those days.
When did that begin?
Back in 1938, 1939. party. One of the first things we did was to entertain the officials of the United States Employment Service at the church, California State Employment Service. They, in turn, cooperated with us to an extent, us to a certain extent. And later we had to march on the U.S. Because it was just token.
Right.
And at the same time, we conducted the Board of Education Department and Board of Registration campaigns. We maintained a home for boys from broken homes beginning in 1939, because at the time, to get into the only existing home for boys supported by the community chest, you had to be white. So I had to choose between protesting that or opening a home for all boys. And we chose the latter.
Did you apply for community chest funds for that?
Never did.
I
wanted to teach the people in the church, the Negroes as we would call them, how to support your own. So we contributed the money to pay the salary and keep the employment off of school. We contributed the money to get the boys' home started and maintain all expenses before the county began to supplement the funds and pay for each boy.
What was the relationship between the church and some of the community groups? For instance, was the Urban League or the NAA involved at all with the church? Did they have very active chapters in Los Angeles at that time?
The NAACP became, actually we were doing more as a church. We had a large congregation. We were doing more as a church than the NAACP, because we were leading the fights against the railway company, against the trade unions, against the employment services, and even working with President Roosevelt and MacNutt, Power Commissioner, and locally. Before 1942, and it was not until about 43, when I became vice president of the local NAACP, and then they co-opted the president, Judge Griffin, now Judge Griffin, retired. He was the president, Attorney Griffin. He cooperated with the Victory Committee.
Oh, I see.
And the two of us worked together.
You had us almost a public front.
Yeah.
NAACP, the church, and some of those groups. I'm trying to think of Brotherhood of Skinny Bar. We had a almost a public front trying to get people to,
Before the Victory Committee itself, were there any white groups involved, any white community groups?
There was some helping.
Because Mrs. Bass was somewhat connected to the People's World, wasn't she, at that point, in terms of some sort of support group?
No, I think she was the head of the California Eagle.
And she supported the NAACP, Urban League, but she was the spokeswoman for the Victory Committee. So was the Sentinel.
Well, you know, we can't find the Sentinels from that period are gone.
Yeah, 1942. They don't have any.
You know anyone who changed? You know anyone who's got newspapers piled away somewhere in their attic from the period? Evidently, Mr. Escher, who's over there, who I guess has been doing the files, was in the service at the time, and so for that period there was no...
Well, they might be, what they might be, what would they put at that?
Yeah, we checked all the listed microfilms and
after the war, then, everyone started saving it. Yeah, everybody has it after the war.
They covered our march for photographs and USCS and CSCS.
Now, when was the Victory Committee itself, the Victory Committee came out of the church, I gather, basically, was the main impetus.
Yeah.
Now, when was the committee itself formed?
I think in about 1941 or 42.
41.
Yeah, yeah.
The outbreak of the war.
Mm-hmm.
This one, mm-hmm. this formed the purpose of implementing our struggle against discrimination, primarily discrimination in industry,
mm-hmm.
which meant that we engaged in a struggle with the trade unions, because at that time, and also to help the war efforts.
Wasn't it part of the system of the Double Victory Committee? Was it, was for elsewhere in the country too? No, it was different.
Yes. We were the only,
We were ahead of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we did, the other civil rights have followed what
mm-hmm.
we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did it at the time when you do go to Washington and
what we actually did was we pulled the community together with a mass meeting on a particular issue, so that when we moved it would be in the name of at least 500 to 1,000 people
mm-hmm.
who had been there, who had thrashed the thing out, discussed and voted on it. So if I go to Washington on the issue, I'd be representing a cross-section of the community,
mm-hmm.
of the city. And we began against Father Riker, Father Coughlin,
mm-hmm.
one of them just died recently.
Mm-hmm.
All these issues that continued to pile
That's
up.
Right.
Yeah, all these yeah. together, we would issue a call to all of the ministers, to all of the civil rights organizations, like the NAACP or Urban League, but to the people, generally speaking, because they were, these organizations like Urban League and NAACP, they were conservative in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They were conservative. They would work and raise money and send it to Washington. They didn't tackle the local issues.
Mm-hmm.
In 1942, they had the National Convention of the NAACP at 24th and Griffith at the Second Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day they opened, our Victory Committee marched on the United States Employment Service.
Oh, it was in I see.
Not with them.
No, but some of them joined in the march?
No. They were meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we marched on that particular day to challenge them that this is what they should have been
mm-hmm.
doing. You see, the point is, when we moved on the United States Employment Service and we localized the fight, and it was later that they joined with us. So that actually, when the war began, we felt that was an excellent opportunity to implement all of our methods and
mm-hmm.
so forth, not in the name of Negroes, but in the name of the war effort. Because when you discriminate against Mexicans mm-hmm. and Negroes, you're hurting the war effort. 300 streetcars and buses were idle in the barns, and they wouldn't hire Mexican or black platform operators. So we weren't just moving in the name of blacks, but in the name of all of the
mm-hmm.
Because you weren't utilizing full manpower.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we moved on every issue, whether it was discrimination in trade unions, discrimination in industry, discrimination in civil service, federal service or whatnot. We moved on all of those issues in the name of the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continued until 45. But I'd have to go to Washington to lobby for an FEPC, or whether we would go to Sacramento, five of us, and Mr. Governor Warren, to call together all of the heads of industry, labor, public utilities, and representatives of the community. He said, well, if I do that, I'd be accused of taking a soft stand on FEPC. He said, no, we'll support you. And he did that, and that's the way we got the Negroes into stores and into public utilities and repairing cell phone lines and going, that went the whole thing. And Governor Warren established that up until a few years ago. It continued to exist on through even the adoption of the FEPC. Or we marched on the Board of Education because they wouldn't put training centers in the community.
I think that's what
they put them in Glendale where the group were wanted.
Okay.
Englewood.
I'm going.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I forget where I left off.
We're talking about the adopt training program.
You're getting one now.
Well, that's right. So we the Big Picture Committee went to the Board of Education, and Gus Hawkins and I were doing a speaking on that particular day. Then they set up, they had set up Arlington as the borderline. No blacks to go to school west of Arlington. Training centers were only established in Englewood, which is the Ku Klux Klan headquarters.
Until recently.
Yeah. And Glendale. So forth. But we had this special meeting with the Board of Education. And we carried about 200 people, women mostly, with us. The Byron Curzon, the superintendent of schools at the time, and one of the members of the Board of Education said, Evan, so why are you putting on this show down here? He said, you could have sent a small committee and discussed this matter with us. And I retorted by saying, you're putting on the show, Hitler is putting on the show. I told you, you're sitting here with taxpayers' money. And discriminating and hurting the war effort. And by the time we finished with the meeting, they set up a special meeting for us to meet with the Board of Education and trash out all these things. Then they were done. So they put school training centers in the district. We never did say training centers in the black district, the Negro district. Training centers in all districts. So that all people could be trained. So they put them in the Mexican community. Yeah, whatnot. They straightened out everything with us because there was unity. It was, at the time, we had we affected more unity than has ever been affected in the Negro area before or since that time. And it was this unity that helped us to achieve. These goals, plus the fact that war effort did help. It would have slowed it down tremendously had it not been for me.
Before the war, were you engaged in this sort of thing, for instance, with WPA, around discrimination?
Before the war?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, before the war, we utilized President Roosevelt's program. Prior to the election, well now, prior to the election, I wasn't the pastor. I didn't begin there till 1936. I was elected officially in 36. So it was during that time, it was the tail end of the Depression. So we had, through the church,
deadlines and soup kitchen commissary. And as we say, the struggle for employment.
Mm-hmm.
And this began before the war.
Mm-hmm. How large was the membership of the church at that time, before the war?
Before the war, the membership of the church had grown to approximately 5,000 or 6,000. It continued. At one time, it peaked at about 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we had a mass meeting every Sunday.
You also had a radio program,
yes,
station.
KFOX, from 1936 to about 1950.
Was the radio program political or exclusively religious?
We use it for everything.
Uh-huh.
It was 1/2 hour. And our theory was that the theory of my church under my administration, the Independent Church, was that you cannot separate religion from the daily activities of life. And if a man's hungry, he must be fed. So that consists of providing a job for him to earn his daily bread, to take care of his family, to properly educate his children, to have a decent home. This was mm-hmm. our theory, and this is our basis for our activities.
What was the relationship like before the formation of the committee with the other church, with the other churches in the Black community?
Our church pioneered in this field.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the activity of Independent Church, there was no active social action program in the Negro churches. We pioneered in the field, and we moved on everything,
mm-hmm.
every challenge, so that eventually other churches fell in line one by one. They would have something, either a nursery or a daycare center or employment service, because we challenged
mm-hmm.
them. And we would carry our meetings to the Victory Committee from church to church. We would carry it to Second Baptist. We'd take it to 8th in town. We'd take it to various churches in the community where the ministers would welcome us.
Mm-hmm.
So that every time we'd expand our activity, there would be a new group of people involved. So that at least the point where the members of the churches were saying, why don't you all do like Russell's doing? And is that the way they did, Willie? Huh? Politicians downtown and the others say, you get the money and Russell Church gets the votes. So we said that we established a pattern that changed the religious life and changed the program of churches in the city of Los Angeles. We pioneered. We opened up 5 markets, Victory Markets, in 1941, and I had come back from Denmark, where I studied the cooperative system. First, I went to World Conference of Christian Youth in Amsterdam, Holland, and during the tour, I became interested in Amsterdam and the cooperative system. Came back and reorganized the cooperative. And
the community was the one that started those cooperative markets that were going on.
Victory Markets, that's right. I was the president and organizer of those 5 markets, and we organized through the church.
Through the church, not through the committee itself.
Through the church.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Victory Committee assisted us
mm-hmm.
in the promotion of the program, and we were able to operate 5 years. But get this point. We purchased the store, 43rd and Central. Spartan Grocers promised to sell to us, Spartan Wholesale Grocers. 2 days before we opened, they refused. Certified had already refused on the basis of race.
Hmm.
nobody would sell to us, and we opened anyway. We found state wholesale grocers out in Vernon, and you probably read of one of the members of the family of La Bianca Wholesale Grocer that was murdered here a few years ago. Well, it was that family that sold to us, and they burned that store down. So we were able to persist in the movement. And to answer your question about the movement of the churches, I called together 16 black ministers of leading congregations and offered to turn the markets over to them. Right, Willie? You were in the service at the time, but we offered to let them elect their own president and to pool our resources so that we could eventually go into a packing house and cannery, agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Started here with the store first and worked back instead of starting back with them.
Mm-hmm.
But despite the program, we were able to operate 5 years, and eventually we failed. But they did not accept the program. Had the 16 ministers, all are dead now. One who accepted was Henderson, Second Baptist, but the others, they didn't accept.
Was there a connection to the cooperatives in the white community at that time? Weren't there some cooperative markets in Los Angeles?
There were, but there was no connection.
There was no connection.
They came over to study ours because it was so successful.
Did they lend support in any way, though, in terms of when you had the fight with the distributors?
No, because, see, they were very small.
Mm-hmm.
And we had changed, but we had supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And we were operating on them. Well, for example, we did over $1 million our first 6 months and ended up $9,000 in the red. Management and numerous other things. But the idea was to prove to the community what it could do with $5 a piece shares.
That's what it was,
$5 a share. And the Jewish community wanted to buy. That's where I made a mistake. Had I sold, I wanted it all black.
Mm-hmm.
Had I sold to the Jewish community, we probably would still be operating because they know.
You couldn't maintain
the whole idea was to teach the Negro community. Sit right here. To teach the Negro community. Quote, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
The self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Self-esteem, self-help, and pooling your resources. Mm-hmm. That's still the key. Individually, we can't do too much, but by pooling our resources, we can accomplish far more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lesson yet to be learned.
Can you talk a little bit about how the committee itself was formed and then how the Women's Auxiliary was formed too? Can you describe that a little for us?
The committee itself was formed out of a necessity for doing just what I said, uniting the community. So a small group of us met and discussed some of the problems and the way they should be met, and outlined the needs, procedure, and then we called a public meeting.
Was that small group all from the church, or did it include people outside the church too at that point?
Most of them are from the church.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been a few who were not members of the church, and they in turn became members of the church. Gus Hawkins was a member of the church, Walter Wheel was a member of the church, Wilson, Juanita, the members of the church, Lasser,
the Dr. Cobb, you remember the
Dr. Toles?
No, the Dr. Toles is too, but Dr. Cobb.
Christ Cobb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the father of the second.
I know the name.
Yes.
Who wrote the Black Rain?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Were you here then, or you were?
He's one of the organizers.
Uh-huh.
He is one of the organizers, and along with Juanita, her name does not appear frequently, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I hadn't come across her.
But she, she was more actively engaged than any woman, including Miss Baxter. She was working right with her husband, who was working with me, and
who got me involved.
That's the funny thing. I was